covering of the Most High God, boy. Because we covered in His love and just begin to commune with Him, man. Take away Adam and Eve, them left off there before they fell, before they transgressed God's law, before they got separated from God. That's why the Bible says we've been, what? We've been predestinated. We've been engrafted back into the family. We've been adopted back into the family of God. We've been hooked back up to God. We've been repotted back into the soul, back into the soul, hooked back up to God, reconciled back to God. So that, boy, mama, we can begin to learn of Him. Not just our church doctrine, but learn of Him. Why? So that we can know what is the hope of our call. He said this here. Let me continue on in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, in Him also, verse 13, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What's that? Boy, that's a seal of guarantee. That's a seal of guarantee. It's a guarantee, man, you know, everything that God has promised us, man, the surety of that guarantee, man, promises. That are yes and amen, that through those promises, people take up the divine nature of God and escape the corruption that's in this world. How? Through those exceeding great and precious promises. What promise? His word. Number one, what promise he said when Adam and Eve, man, disobeyed God, man, and ate out the tree of life and rebelled against God, man, he promised himself, what? Hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction. I specialize in wounded hearts. Hello. What do you think? That's like some of my wife, like, boy, you know, what that is, broken people. Boy, you specialize, man. Hallelujah. And doing what, man? Healing the wounds of the broken people, man. Raised up from the ashes, man, to singing and dancing. What do you do? What do you specialize in, man? Healing, man, the wounds of the broken people. Who that is, boy? That's that love that you're covering in. And boy, you can come all the way back into His very presence, man, and start partaking of that love, man, and start fellowshipping and communing with your Father, man, from that point of view. Boy, in whom also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession that you and I. To the praise of His glory, to the full redemption of it. Who is that? He's the guarantee. He's the assurance. He's the one, man, that caused you to know that you 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 know that beyond any shadow of doubt that everything is all right. Turn it on. I'm going to say that again, boy. He's the one to seal a guarantee, boy, to bring you to the place where it don't matter where you at, it don't matter what you might be going through, boy, you will know something, boy, deep down on the inside of you, boy, that you know, that you know, that you know, boy, that I'm talking about. Boy, that's the love of God, boy, that He has for you. And, boy, as you come to the knowledge of that and grow in the knowledge of that, boy, hello. Sometimes, my boy, that's the guarantee of the purchased possession. Who is the purchased possession? That's you and I. That's the assurity of all those exceeding great and precious promises, boy, that we partake of and escape all the corruption that's in this world. In verse 15, he says, therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What he prayed? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Not just knowledge of Him, but the revealed knowledge, the revelation knowledge. See, there are two kinds of knowledge. There's sense knowledge, and then there's revelation knowledge. That's knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasons, like we learn in our education schools and in our academies and our universities and everything else. And then there's another knowledge called revelation knowledge that's revealed to us, boy, beyond our five sense reasoning. That's revealed to us by the God Himself, by the person of the Holy Spirit, revealing what to us? Spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding. Therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that you have for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you and pray for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. For what purpose? That you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints are, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power that he gives to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power. What power did he give us? The mighty working of the mighty power which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, far above everything, every word, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who wills all things in all. What, boy, why I say, boy, you know that you know that you know that you know that everything is all right. And, boy, let me tell you something, boy. I remember, boy, he asked me a long time ago, how would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? I said, Lord, I can't even begin to explain how I would feel. They don't have no words, man, that can really articulate that. I can come up with articulating. How would I feel if I knew that everything was all right? Oh, Lord, I'd be awesome, marvelous, great. I mean, all the words. I mean, I could all put them all together. And he said, well, feel that way. Why? Because everything is all right. He who have begun a good work on the inside of you, he can complete it. But here's the key. Hey, listen, you got to know that. He didn't ask me how would I feel if everything was all right. He asked me how would I feel if I knew. That's why Paul said, I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual understanding, so that you can know what is the hope of your calling, the exceeding greatness of the power that's made available to you. What power is made available to us? The same power that God used, boy, when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. How he did that? That's the power of the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you. The same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus, man, to open blind eyes and not stop deaf ears and to reestablish God's kingdom back on the earth. That's the same Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you and I. Everything, man, that Jesus Christ was doing up on the earth was a means to that one end right there, boy, to get that same spirit that was on the inside of him that enabled him to do everything that he did back on the inside of us. So that the work that he did, shall we do also. So that as he is, so are we. So that the same way the Father sent him, who went about doing good, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and casting out devils and destroying the works of the devil, same way he sent us. Same thing. We're doing what, boy? Destroying the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? Separate you from your Father, from your soul, from your sustainer, from the knowledge of God's will for your life. And one of his chief ways of doing that is to keep you in religion, keep you in rituals and ceremonies and in religions. But, man, that ain't what God doing no more. He ain't operating with people, man, according to religion. The moment we read that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all in one. But what purpose, man? Not to have no church, but to be the church. And, boy, when you be in the church, then you're talking about having some good church. We have a good church without being the church. Come on now. You really want to have a good church? Start learning how to be the church. Hallelujah. When you learn how to be the church, know we're going to be the results of that, boy. We're going to occupy until he comes. What are we going to be doing? Man, we're going to be going into all the world and making disciples of all men. Man, winning souls to the kingdom of God. Not to our church or our denomination or to our doctrine or to our religion, but winning souls back into a personal relationship with the Most High God. That's what constitutes changed lives. Listen, you can go into a church and hear a good word and a sermon and everything else, feel good, give up and give your life to the Lord and everything else, man. And then, man, you do all right for a little while, and then next thing you know, man, you're right back where you are. I'm not talking about, man, experience or emotional experience. I'm talking about, man, a personal encounter. Listen, I ain't talking about no religion. I'm talking about God want a man to have a personal encounter with you. A personal encounter. A personal encounter. He don't want us to just know of him. He want us to know him. And the power that's in his resurrection. What power, boy? That same power, man, that raised Jesus from the dead, man, living on the inside of us so that we could be about our Father's business. How be it when the Spirit of truth come upon you, then you shall be witnesses unto me. See, otherwise, we'd just be witnesses for Jesus. We talk about all Jesus did and all that Jesus did and how he opened blind eyes and how he unstopped death ears and how he raised the dead and how he went about doing good and how he preached the gospel of the kingdom and how he rose from the dead, man. Hey, listen, that's a witness for Jesus. But the Bible says, boy, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, man, has come upon you. And he didn't say you're going to be a witness for Jesus. He said you're going to be a witness unto Jesus. What's the difference? A witness for Jesus, talk about all Jesus did. A witness unto Jesus is the one who, man, do what Jesus did. What Jesus did, he went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? Separate mankind from their Father in heaven, from their source. What Jesus Christ come doing? Reconciling man back unto God. Reconciling. Hooking mankind back up to God. How he did that? By cleansing us from all our unrighteousness. Not so that we can have church, but so that we can come back into the presence of the Most High God. I'm talking about into his presence. That's a personal encounter. That's what God wants with you. Let me tell you something, man. You can have an experience with God, an emotional experience, and it really not can change your life. And you'll be saved, but you're going to be converted. But boy, when you have a personal encounter with the Most High God, hey, listen, man, you can't. You'll never be the same. And that's something that nobody will never be able to take from you. You will know that you know that you know that you know that your Redeemer lives. You will know, boy. You won't be just hoping and believing that there's a God and that he's alive. You will know, man. I'm talking about beyond any shadow of a doubt. But that is, that's a personal encounter. And, man, everybody got different experiences in that personal encounter with the Lord. Boy, I'm talking about, man, trillions of ways you can do that. But, boy, the main thing is, boy, that personal encounter. But it is, that's not a religion. That's a relationship. But the purpose of the personal encounter, not so that we can have good church and put on good program. Yeah, that's all good and everything done in its place. But the purpose for that relationship, man, is so that we can establish, man, a governing system on the inside of us. A governing system, not a religion. The prophet Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall establish, man, the kingdom back up on the earth. And every kingdom, there shall be no end. Where did he come with? He come with a government on his shoulder, not a religion. He come with a governing system of heaven. He come with a government on his shoulder. He come with laws and principles, man, that governs a territory. What territory? The territory of heaven. And to reestablish that back up on the earth. What? The governing influence of heaven. The way heaven is governed. Not the way, man, our earth is governed, man, through our politicians. That's unrighteous government. Why? Because it's unrighteous people. So how you fix that, man? By getting righteous people in government. I ain't talking about their own righteousness. Their own righteousness is like filthy rags. And all of them trying to make it a better place and everything else, but more the end to then lead to destruction. I'm talking about the governing system of heaven. That's why the devil don't ever want you to find out, man, what Jesus said. It don't matter you find out and reading the Bible and seeing all he did. And then he don't never want you to come to the revelation of what Jesus Christ said. That's why we get a lot on Son of Man from the Old Testament, even from Paul and everything else. Well, let me tell you something, boy. The last thing the devil ever wants you to come to the knowledge of is what Jesus said. Jesus said this, I think it's in Matthew 22. He said, you have heard that it has been said. And then he started quoting the prophet. He said, but I say unto you. What is it? I'm talking about, boy, the original word. See, what Paul, what all the Old Testament characters were preaching and everything else, that was God's word to mankind after they fell, after they disobeyed God, after they got put out of the Garden of Eden, after they got separated from the Holy Spirit, after they got separated from God. God never left them. God never forsook them, but the relationship was different. He was dealing with them no longer according to his perfect will, the way he was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And by the way, in those two chapters, that's the only two chapters where God said, and it was very good. And in those two chapters, they didn't have no apostles, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, politician, popes, Baptists, Methodists, Hindus, Muslims, Christians. They didn't have none of that in those two chapters. Yet those are only two chapters in the Bible where God said, it is very good. All of that just started happening, man, until after the fall. All of that, man, and religion and everything else, that's a product of the fall. And it had its place for a season. But Jesus Christ came, man, and reestablished, man, the governing system of heaven back up on the earth so that we can come out of religion into the relationship and learn of him. So if you just want to be stuck in the religion, man, and going through the formalities, man, then you'll be just like the children of Israel. You're saved. But you'll be going round and round and round my side now, round and round and round in a circle, just like the children of Israel did, and dying in the wilderness. Saved, but not converted. Saved, but never entered into your inheritance. Instead of going across the Jordan River into your inheritance, a lot of children of Israel died in the wilderness, just like the church. A lot of them just dying in the wilderness. They saved because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as their salvation. But now they're just having church and going around in circles and operating their religion and rituals and rites and ceremonies and traditions and all the traditional men. Well, in time past, it had its place. In time past, God dealt with us according to those things like that. But in this day and time, man, he's no longer dealing with us, man, according to the law and the prophets. Boy, he's still fear then. He's dealing with us now according to his perfect will. That's what Jesus Christ come proclaiming, man. That's what he come preaching. What? The perfect will of God. The perfect governance system. The perfect utopia. The perfect world. The world that man, Adam, and Eve was in, man, in Genesis chapter 2, when they were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, in that atmosphere. That's what Jesus Christ come in and we bring back to the earth and restore mankind back to. Not religion. That's why I say there's a going on. And let me tell you something, boy. This message that God is giving up to teaching these last days right there, you're going to face opposition. And the greatest opposition is going to be religion because people, man, the devil want people to stay in religion. Why? Because religion is the substitute, man, for the kingdom. As long as you're in religion, man, you'll never be able to get into the kingdom. But I tell you, boy, there's a going on in God. He done came through religion, now, man, back into a relationship. Which one would you rather have? Just a religion, just a formality? Just going around and around and circles, or would you rather going on across the Jordan River until your inheritance? Think about what you rather be, man. Just having church, man, or hearing your father say, well done, my good and faithful sons and daughters. But winning souls, man, back to a man, a personal relationship with God. Winning souls to the kingdom of God. Establishing, re-establishing God's kingdom and God's will and God's desire back on the earth. That's you. That's the church. That's what he called us to do. That's why he said, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you can know what is the hope of our calling. So, man, instead of, man, just having church and, man, wandering around in the wilderness, man, and hoping and praying, man, it's time for the man to go across, man, get our inheritance. What's our inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven that belongs to us. That was us. That was our man. God chose us to have that before the foundation of the world. He established it on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 3, he lost it. And in Matthew, man, Luke, and John, and Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he came himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, reestablished it back on the earth, cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness, and reestablished it back on the earth. And in the course of that, man, he taught man them the functioning principles of how to operate and live in the kingdom, man, of God on earth. Ray DMA taught them the functioning principles. That's why the church don't know nothing. You ask the church about the laws of God, and then they start quoting, man, the 669 laws, and the Levitical laws, and the Ten Commandments, and all those. And all those are the laws of God. But those are the laws that God gave to mankind after they failed, after they got put out in the Garden of Eden, for them to live by. That was the religion that was set up, man, in Cain and Abel, who made the first sacrifice. That's when religion was first established. Why? Because God could not fellowship with them no more. The Holy Spirit was not in them no more. They didn't have the same kind of relationship no more. God was no longer dealing with mankind the way he was dealing with them in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. A different dispensation, a different age, a different period in human history. Man, where God had to deal with them, man, now no longer according to his perfect will, but now according to his permissive will. They were no longer innocent, but they were dead in trespasses and sin. And as a result of it, man, then they lost the knowledge of God's will for our lives. And in place of it, man, gained the knowledge, man, of our own will, and in a lot of cases, the devil's will for our lives. With the absence of the knowledge of God's will for our life. That's why I say I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So only then can you know the hope of your calling. That's why God wants you to know, man, there's some other laws. There's a law, man, called the law of life. These are the laws, man, that was, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. These were the original laws of God. That's the law of life. What's the law of life for? The word of God. When God said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said. And then in verse 6, it says, and God said. Then in verse 9, it says, and God said. Verse 11, it says, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said, let's make man our image. What's that, boy? That's the word of life. That's a law. That's why you hear me say all the time, boy, what the king say, that's what goes. Well, I could, boy, that's a law in the kingdom called a law of life. Well, that's a life that's in the word of God. That's the everlasting life. And can't nothing put that light out. Can't nothing destroy that life, and can't nothing put that light out. Not even Adam's disobedience. Can't put that light out. That's the law of life. That's the primary law in the kingdom of God. There's another law in the kingdom of God, man, called a law of love. There's another law in the kingdom of God, boy, called the law of faith. There's another law in the kingdom of God called the law of liberty. There's another law in the kingdom of God, man, called the law of sin and death. Go to have an amen, and you can eat out of any tree in the garden that you want to. But don't eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you're going to separate yourself from me. That's death. What sin? Rebel against me and my will. I'm telling you, you can eat out of all the trees, but don't eat out the devil, because if you do, you're going to separate yourself from me. That's a law. If you sin, you're going to die. The penalty for sin is death. That's a law of sin and death. That's a law of love that redeemed our life from the law of sin and death. How? Through the law of life. He sent his word. What? The original law. That's Jesus. The original word. The word of life. For the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, God came to himself in the person of his son and redeemed our life from the destruction. Well, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So you ain't got to worry about that no more. And I said, God, why? That you can come on back into the presence of the Most High God. Come on back and eat off the tree of life again. Eat off the law of life, the written word of God, and grow thereby. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of promise. God promised something. That's why I say those exceeding great promise that we were talking about earlier. Man, we're going to partake of that. That promised land, man, that he promised us, boy, what? That, man, I'm talking about all of the kingdom of heaven, our inheritance that belonged to us, and that he promised to restore us back to. Man, that's what he's doing in the earth today, restoring us back to them. And using the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? Not just anything. Preaching this message. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to go and preach. He gave them a specific message. He said, go preach this message. The gospel of the kingdom. And cast out devils. And heal the sick. Another place, man, in Matthew, that's what he told him in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew 25, he said, hey, listen. And this gospel, that's that word this again, meaning there are other gospels too. There's a lot of gospels in the Bible, but he's talking about a specific one. In Matthew 10, they say, hey, when you go, preach this gospel. In Matthew 20, 25, they say, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end gonna come. What he say? Come, let's go, Luke chapter 4, verse 43, to other cities as well. We must preach the gospel of the kingdom to other cities as well. Why? For therefore was I sent. Matthew chapter 12. Hey, it gives the Father great pleasure to give you men the kingdom. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. All through his ministry, boy, what he was saying, man, is what's most important. That the devil and man kept us blinded to and our ears hardened to. In some places, man, we closed our own eyes. The Bible says the eyes have been closed. When anyone hears the word of the gospel of the kingdom and understands it not, the devil coming immediately. And then some men, they don't want to hear. The eyes, they closed. They don't want to change. Well, that's how I've been doing it. I'm going to be doing this way forever and ever until I'm a Baptist. I've been born a Baptist, raised a Baptist. I'm a die a Baptist man. He was born, man, a son of the Most High God with sovereign power and dominion. Over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is about up. I love y'all. And I pray God's best for your life. And that same thing, that what Paul said, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And as you stay tuned to the forecast, that man, God is calling to you the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of God. All I'm doing is just planting seeds. I'm saying that some seeds, both types of knowledge, some seeds fall on the wayside, some seeds fall on thorny ground, some seeds fall on thorny ground, some seeds fall on good ground. I pray that your heart is good ground. And that as God plants the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom into your heart, grow up and produce men 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. That's all my job is. Just to come and plant a seed. One plant, a pot, another water, a God that gives the increase. What seed you plant? Not yet. The seed of God is living in 10, 10, 10 for your life. Let me tell you something about those seeds. They're indestructible, incorruptible, and they're ever-new. And as I plant them into your heart and you receive it, and you water them and meditate on them, and they're going to grow up and produce much fruit in your life. What's the much fruit? The manifestation of what? All of the kingdom, all the holy that God created you to be before the foundation of the earth. All in love that you are wrapped up in and covered in that you might not only know that you continue to be. Therefore, you must know that you 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 come to the knowledge of that, then you'll be feeling and help others to do the same. If not, the clean and clear heart, yes, nobody's going to get it. I love you. Our contact number is 713-870-3770. God bless you. And you'll talk to you again next week.
This is Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us